look nice for you guys and be that role model. And I looked across, and there's not a soul with a tie on here. So here's sometimes, you know, we like to dress up, and then there's those times that we, as guys, we like to be a little bit casual, and you know, and I want to just enjoy the day a little bit, and I'm going to loosen up the tie a little bit. Is that enough? Now, then I really want to get casual here, and all right, Mom, are you ready to worship the Lord here? Now, I'm not going to wear this the whole time, but it looks good, huh? Is this what it really feels like to have hair? But you know, Father's Day is rather interesting. Sometimes you hear Dad say things like this: go ask your mother. Don't worry, it's only blood. Yeah. I always thought, if a bone's not showing, they're fine. Yeah. Do I look like I'm made of money? Dad's, you never said that, right? I'm not sleeping. I was watching the show. You know, I don't know, because I guess Arlene heard me snoring, you know. I'm not just talking to hear my own voice. And little dirt never hurt anyone. Just wipe it off. We're not lost. No, we're not there yet. And don't make me stop this car. Now, every one of those quotes have been spoken out of my lips at one time or another. But here's something I do know, is that Father's Day is not Mother's Day. And sometimes, you know, Mother's Day, I mean, we go all out and that, and Father's Day, it's, well, Dad, we're going to allow you to take us out to dinner today, and you're buying. But here's something that I'm going to talk to you about: Joseph, the father of Jesus. And it starts out in Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. And this day is a day in which Joseph actually began to realize that he was a stepfather. And it goes this way. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way, when his mother Mary had become betrothed to Joseph. Before they had come together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophet: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And when Jesus woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, our Heavenly Father, we celebrate your day every day of our life because you give us purpose, meaning, direction. I thank you that we are able to come here today to understand, Lord, from your word, what happened on that amazing day. Illuminate our minds. Lord, I thank you for the time in which we had to worship you. I thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, to invest in the kingdom. Now we have this opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into us, and specifically to speak into us fathers on this very special day. Have your way in our midst. For this we ask in your precious name. Amen. You know, when you look in the Bible, and you look for a quote of a prominent father named Joseph, you may be very, very surprised. Because you never would have thought about it before. But Joseph doesn't say a single word in the Bible. Now, some of you are going to be looking that up to try to prove me wrong. Have your way with it. But he simply listened and he obeyed. We probably assumed that his words were recorded because we could kind of imagine the conversation which he had with Mary and the one he had with Gabriel. And we could hear him talking to that innkeeper, you know, knocking on a door. And we visualize him talking to Jesus about his carpentry. And then kind of fades off the scene. Some people think that Joseph was much older than Mary because at the end, Mary kind of appeared to be alone. And although the Bible never says that she was a widow at the time of Jesus' death and crucifixion and resurrection, it sure seemed like Joseph was missing. And some people assume that he may have been dead. Yet some folks thought that maybe, even though it wasn't the custom, because normally the custom was the man was much older than the bride. But it could have been almost just a few years older. We just don't know. Joseph probably thought, though, that his whole life has been planned out before him, because at that time is that not only was their occupation chosen often for them, but so was their bride chosen for them. But everything came crushing down upon Joseph. His marriage and his vocation all appeared to be prearranged. Everything was mapped out before him. But then he discovered that his bride-to-be was pregnant. Now we know that Joseph was a man of integrity. He wanted to do what was right for Mary the right way. So when he learned about Mary's pregnancy, he considered divorcing her. And some of you may be thinking, divorcing her? He wasn't married to her. How could he divorce her if he wasn't married? Well, being betrothed, being engaged at that time, was a legal binding contract that was made between those two families. And for that engagement, for that betrothment to be broken, there would have been a divorce. So he just wanted to do it in a way that would not call attention of any manner to Mary. But did you know that Joseph had all the right in the world to publicly disgrace her? In fact, he had the right to be able to have her stoned to death for adultery. But he didn't do that. He heard this angel speak to him in a dream that was given to him by God. And he ignored, he ignored all the gossip that was going on in that village. And I'm telling you, there had to be a whole lot of gossip that was going on about her being pregnant. In those days, a marriage contract was worked out between those families, as I said. The husband-to-be stayed with his family. The wife-to-be stayed with their family. But the townspeople probably thought that Joseph and Mary couldn't wait. So I believe that They probably moved that wedding day up a little bit sooner. And then came the Roman census that took them far away from that city. I'll bet they were happy to leave that community from all the gossip that was going on. And even though Joseph came from a royal family line, the line of King David, it was easy to see that this man, Joseph, was a very humble man. The belief that as you look at the scripture and that you see the character of man that he was a man that was always available there for his family. He was willing to endure hardship. He was willing to work through disappointment. And yet, through all this, I believe that he was looking forward to being the father of Mary's baby, Jesus. Yet Joseph was faced in being a stepson, not to his own, but to Mary's child. He accepted it humbly. He accepted it responsibly. He trusted God's designated time to be able to care for this young child and the mother. He didn't have a parenting book. I'm sure he didn't have any kind of literature as saying, now, we all think, wow, our kids are amazing. Our kids are wonderful. Our kids are smart. But our kids were never the Son of God. And he was going to raise the Son of God. But what he did have, that he had faith and he had compassion. Mark that down in your minds, Dad, is that we may not have it all, but when we have faith and we have compassion, God has an opportunity to do some amazing things in our life. There was a Sunday school Christmas program that was going on. And there was a young boy who wanted to play Joseph really bad. But his part was given to his friend. A boy that he didn't like very much. And he was pretty upset. Yet he took his part. They gave him a part to be the innkeeper. And so he did everything he was supposed to do. He learned his part well, but he was planning to get his revenge. And so when Jesus and Mary shows up at this inn in the play, knock on the door, and that innkeeper asks very gruffly, "What do you want?" Joseph answered, "We'd like to have a room for the night." Then suddenly, the innkeeper says, "Here's my opportunity." He threw the door open. He says, "Great! Come on in. I'll give you the best room in the house." Well, Joseph really didn't know what to do for a moment. He was taken back because that's not a part of the play. And this boy just wanted to trip this boy all up. So he thought for a few seconds, and then he quickly thought and got on his feet. And he says, looked in the past, the innkeeper, and he looked in the inn, and he says, "No wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like that. Mary, let's go to the barn." And the play was back on track. But in all reality is that often Joseph is never the main character, is it, in most Christmas plays. His task is to watch over Mary. Take care of baby Jesus. Joseph's role was to care for the needs of everybody around him. You know, but kind of think when I look at Joseph's life, when things unexpectedly happen to us, when things turn to the worse, not to the good, we kind of cry out. Maybe what Joseph may have said was, "God, how can this be?" You ever think of that? Life ever come up on you and You weren't ready for it. What happened? You said, how could this happen? I didn't see this happen. How could this be? But maybe we could be somewhat like Joseph and hear that voice of God speaking into him and saying, trust me. Or if I could put it in the 21st century language, is saying, God is saying, hey, I got this. Would we let him have that? Because I know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. I've heard this said. The best thing a father could do for his kids is to love their mother. I'm going to let this ponder a little bit. The best thing a father could do for his kids is to love their mother. Now, how do I do that? Well, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, gives us an amazing outline. It says this to us. Love is patient. And it's kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not proud or rude. Love is not self-seeking or easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Dads, have we perfected that? Probably not. Because, you see, we're a father still in the making. But when we have that trust in him, when we have that faith in him, and when we have that compassion of his in our life, all things do work together. That is Joseph's love. Now, that was truly Joseph's love for Mary. Instead of being indignant, Joseph accepted this child as his own. I have been married all my life. I was dating Arlene when I was 16. They were calling Arlene in high school, Arlene Ricosi. And we were just dating yet. In her yearbook, is that Mrs. Ricosi or Mrs. Rock all through it. And throughout of my ministry, in the early years of my ministry as I was a youth pastor, I loved ministering to those kids because I was a kid at one time. Well, sometimes I still am. But then something happened. God called me into the single adult ministry. In the ministry that was ministering to singles who were, well, 30 years old and up. It was totally foreign to me. My parents were never divorced, never had a great marriage, as dad's alcoholism, but they were still together. And I was thrown into this world where there were single parents or step-parents. And here was Jesus into this whole new role that he was accepting. How did I know that he was accepting this role? As well, he was willing to change his whole life. He accepted God's will by following his instructions. And the angel that gave him, he traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Then he went on to Egypt. Then he went back later to Nazareth again. It's clear to see that Joseph was willing to accept the responsibility of this child as a gift of God. Now listen to this. Joseph became the father image of the Son of God. try to stand up to that. This stepson of Joseph would one day be the one who will forgive the sins of the world. Yet, God spoke to Joseph. He said, I want you to start this whole mission. And you do this by naming him Jesus, which means Savior. Now, archaeologists, they have uncovered the ruins of a town near that was nearby named Sepphoris. Sepphoris was a thriving city near Nazareth, and it's probably believed that this is where Joseph grew up. This is where Joseph raised Jesus. This is where probably Jesus took on the apprenticeship of being a carpenter himself. Because of this, when Jesus would return to that city later on in his ministry, the people would say, isn't this the son of Joseph, the carpenter? Well, was Joseph perfect as a father in what he's doing? Probably not. In fact, after Jesus was born, Mary had several more children. And those boys never bought the story. Never seen that faith in took ownership or come alongside of what Papa Joseph and Mama Mary were saying about Jesus, the Messiah. Not until until Jesus' resurrection did they buy into this whole thing. In spite of all that, we see that yet Joseph did all that he can. Parents could teach their children, but they can't make their children's faith. They could tell their kids how to live, but they can't make them moral persons. They could even baptize their children, but they can't make their children followers of Christ. They can love their children, but they can't give them eternal life. Yes, the influence of that father and that mother is so vitally important. But it's up to those children to make their own decisions. But dad, don't throw that off that you don't have a responsibility there, because you need to continue to press forth to be that man of faith. There's a lot that we really don't know about Joseph. Where and when was he born? How did he spend his days? What did he actually say? I mean, none of it really was recorded. When and how did he die? Because we don't know. The last thing we hear about Joseph was when he made that pilgrimage back to Jerusalem with Mary and Jesus. Jesus was about 12 years old. And he was apparently a man of very few words, but he did what he was supposed to do. You see, we don't know much about Joseph. But this we do know, that he wasn't afraid to obey that voice of God. Dad, we need to know that we can hear that voice of God. You are not in this journey alone. God wants to give you the direction. God wants to give you the instruction. In fact, he goes as far as that Jesus' day is forever interceding in your behalf, and God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit to come alongside of you to do what he has called you to do in leading your family in that walk of relationship with Jesus Christ. He cares about what is going on in that home. Yes, he is working with imperfect people. We will make mistakes. I had to have a booklet to get my driver's license. No one gave me a booklet how to be a father, let alone how to be a husband. I'm still working those things out. I jokingly say I probably have given my son, who's 49, and my daughter, who's 47, a great deal of reasons why they probably need therapy, because they had me as a father. But I do know this, is that I could trust in God in every moment of every day, and He did not beat me up because of the mistakes that I may have done. I would hear someone say, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change a thing. Man, I'm thinking, that person is lying? Oh, they're in total denial. If I had to do my parenting all over again, I would change 1,000 things. Because it was trial and error. We make mistakes. But God is able to overcome those things. And besides that, He loves your kids more than you. He's invested in their lives. God has sent His only begotten Son to die for those kids. He cares about what's going on in their lives. Worship team, come on up. Here's what from scripture that I really know about Joseph. It's out of Matthew, the first chapter, verse 18. It says he was a righteous man. Joseph may have thought that being a righteous man involved doing the right things. But he found out that it was also about being the right person. Because I can make mistakes, but if I am that right person, God has something to work with. God has something to work through when we are that right person. Joseph was a real man. He had strength, but he held that strength under control. He was firm when he was willing to take those trips from one city to another, from one country to another. But he was very sensitive to the needs of his family. He's willing to follow the leading of God. Joseph was God's man. He did fatherhood the way it ought to be done. You want to know what that was? He led his family by being a follower of God. You see, dads, I know that sometimes our roles are kind of downplayed. I know that on TV, they really love to make us look stupid. I know that society is doing everything it can to take away from us men our manhood. But I do know this, is that God has called us to lead. But the only way I lead is I lead by knowing how to follow. Every person is different. Every father is different. But there's one thing that I do know this, that every father can be the same, and that is being a righteous man. How do I do that? I do that by being a man of prayer. I do that by coming before the God often as I can, just seeking His guidance and wisdom. I don't want to react to things. I want to respond to them. I want to hear from the voice of God before I discipline those children. I want to hear from the voice of God before I respond to something that has happened within the home. I want to know what He has to say. And the only way I know that is I know that voice. Now, listen, Dad. I have never heard an audible voice of God. Now, if I did, it may have scared the bejeebers out of me. I don't know. But I've never heard. Now, I only have had one vision as a 10-year-old child when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was the only vision. But I do have dreams. And I'm kind of be a little bit humorous about that because old men dream dreams, young men see visions. But I wake up knowing that I heard from the Lord that night about what is going on in the life of my family, in the life of this church, what God wants to say into each and every one of our lives. I know that I know through that time of fellowship. Why? Because I am a man of prayer. Two, though, is that I line that prayer up because sometimes it's like statistics. Statistics, we can manipulate to have it say whatever we want it to have it say. So when I wait before the Lord in prayer, it better line up with the Word of God. And if it's going to line up with the Word of God, I need to know what the Word of God says. Dad, you need to be a man of prayer, and you need to be a man of the Word of God. You need to be a man that is worthy to follow. I hear women, when doing marriages now, they never like that part of saying to submit unto the husband. Oh, they don't want to submit unto the husband. Well, sometimes they don't want to submit to his husband because we're not worthy to be submitting to. Isn't it? Let them trust and know that where we are, that we are a person of the Word, that we're a person of prayer, that they can trust that where we're leading them, they will follow. And I promise you, fathers, is that when they see that you are one who is a follower of Christ first, they'll follow you anywhere because they'll trust you. And the one thing that I know that is so vitally important for them to follow us in is to follow us in our faith walk with Christ. And that faith walk is not only that what I do within the home, is that I become a man of worship and praise unto the Lord. We need to be in the house of God. Statistics tells us that if a woman brings the children to church all by herself, there will come a time when those children start saying, I'm staying home with Dad. But when Dad leads that family into the house of God, the whole family follows. You want to know what role you have to play? Follow Jesus. Let those kids announce and all those around you, family, your spouse, let them see that you are a person that seeks out God. We don't know a whole lot about the life of Joseph. But wow, what a role model. Mainly, we know that he was a righteous man. And we've seen everything that he did. He was willing to change his whole occupation, leave his carpentry, everything, back home, and start the journey. Did he do some of that carpentry work elsewhere? He may have. I don't know. But I do know this, is that he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. You see, Dad, when we become that man who's a follower of Christ, we become that righteous man. I'm going to ask every father to stand. Now I'm going to ask you to have the courage to come and stand with me. Would you please? Just face me. Life can be pretty tough on us, guys. People could be very judgmental towards us these days. But we have a responsibility to be the priest of our home. We have the responsibility to lead our families. God has called you to be a righteous man. And you could do it. And God has something to do in your life that can be life-changing. One of the greatest compliments I ever received from my daughter was that she told her mother, "Mommy, I want to marry a guy just like you did." Oh, believe me, that little girl saw the mistakes I made. But she also knew that I could say, "I'm sorry, forgive me." She also knew that Daddy was a man of prayer and a man of the Word. And I know that God wants to do something within your lives, and He is not done with you yet. I find is that as the years go by, we learn out of our mistakes. And out of those mistakes, God could bring forth an anointing upon our lives that would bring glory to Him. And those are amazing lessons in which we teach our families. So be a righteous man. Be a righteous man. Be a righteous man. So there's a couple of things I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. God's anointing on your life to bring that priest of your home. I'm going to pray for God to have that, you would have that encounter with an almighty God that would blow your mind. That you would stop doubting yourself or condemning yourself. But you will stand and say, "Lord, I am going to trust what you're going to do in my life from this day forward." And I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing upon you. And then I'm going to ask Jack and the worship team to lead us in worship. I don't want you to leave yet, because what I want to do as we're doing that, I want to shake every one of your hands. Mano to mano, man to man. To know that we are in this together. You don't have to do this alone. You got men around you who want to stand with you. You got a pastor who will go to the finish line with you. Because we believe that God has something for you as men. Oh, happy Father's Day, Dad. You're amazing in being here today. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Would we all stand, please? Those out there in the audience, would you extend your hands forward, please? Join me as I pray over these men. Heavenly Father, it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. I speak into these men's lives. I pray, Lord, that they will see the amazing work in which you desire to do within their lives. Let them know that they are not alone. They have each other. And they have you. Let those mistakes that they have done be gone, forgiven. Let that condemnation no longer be there. Let that guilt just turn into regret. And then, Lord, let that work of faith come forth in their lives of knowing that the days that they have ahead of them is much greater than the days gone by. And so I pray that you would grant unto them the desires of their heart. I pray that they would rise up and be those men of valor, those mighty men of faith, the priests of their homes. And I pray this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord, shall we?